FM News Talk 97.1. On demand audio.
Speaker Tim Jones, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Bad and bougie.
Tim Jones, good morning. Where are you, my friend?
Hey, good morning, Mark. I'm live from the swamp. I'm up here with my waders on. Yes.
Good for you. Yeah, are you feeling unsafe because Nancy Pelosi says security is an issue in Washington, D.C.?
You know, Mark, I think we're all rejoicing more and more every day the government shut down. We're creating a smaller government thanks to President Donald Trump. You know, it's and Mark, you know, in all seriousness, there is something to that theory. There's a great article that folks can look up. It's in the American Thinker this week. It's called Trump's Shutdown Trap. And it's not a trap for Donald Trump. It's a trap for everyone else, all the bureaucrats in this government that we have, where we've got these slews of people that are non-essential workers. Have you ever heard of a business or a company that employed hordes of non-essential workers where it really doesn't matter if they're there or not? It's just amazing. And so, you know, Mark, we actually come up to a very important critical deadline, the article points out, where after 30 days or 24 work days, where furloughed workers become subject to actual permanent layoff. So believe it or not, Mark, you can get rid of a government bureaucrat, you know, in our federal government.
Yeah.
So, you know, the people who, you know, Nancy Pelosi really is, you're right, Nancy Pelosi is the one who is now largely responsible for the shutdown. If you notice, we're not hearing a lot from Chuck Schumer. We're not hearing a lot from Mitch McConnell because I think they and President Trump could sit down yesterday and have worked this all out. You've heard recently a lot of Democratic senators, believe it or not, sounding very rational about, you know, saying things. There was another statement this morning. I think it was from Steny Hoyer and some others, Democratic Senator Chris Coons over the weekend, who said, you know, no, walls aren't immoral. Yes, walls do work in certain areas. They are blowing holes in Speaker Pelosi's arguments because they realize this needs to come to an end, and they could work out a deal today. Mark, the problem is, as you've identified, it is this new breed of Democratic socialists, this far left, that have taken over largely the U.S. House, and they're the ones, I believe, handcuffing Nancy Pelosi from making a deal.
Well, how hard can it be? I mean, this is the conversation I was talking about earlier that I had with somebody here in the building yesterday. But we're talking about border security. This is not brain surgery. This is people deal with how to secure perimeters on a daily basis. They do it at the police level. They do it at the state level, the military level. Everybody knows how to secure a perimeter. It requires human beings. It requires some sort of fencing or a wall of some sort. We know how to do this. We run prisons all over the country. We build fences around the White House and keep people out who occasionally try to get in. Walls, we know this, and the Democrats know this. And when you hear Steny Hoyer say, yes, walls work, and you hear some of these other Democrats say, we need border security, the negotiation here is simple for Donald Trump. Listen, I want $5.6 billion. You offer me $3 billion. Call it border fencing or whatever you want, and when I get the money, I'm going to put structures in places where we need them to keep people from getting into this country. It's a win-win for both sides.
You're exactly right. The frightening thing here is this leftward lurch of the Democratic Party. That's really what's at issue here. It's not whether or not we should have $5 billion for a wall. The costs of the shutdown have already exceeded the $5 billion request for additional border security.
Oh, sure.
So it's laughable that that's really the issue. The real issue here, Mark, is how far left does the Democratic Party want to go? And I listened to pieces of their opening year speeches, their State of the City and the State of the State address from two of our new favorite lefties, and that would be Mayor de Blasio in New York City, and then Governor Cuomo of the state of New York, who are trying to out-lefty each other. And that's what's going on in the Democratic Party right now. All of these people who may run for president in 2020, who are thinking about running for president in 2020, or who just want to be the new Democrat darlings of this new movement, they are trying to out-lefty each other. Mayor de Blasio yesterday actually said that in 2016, we Democrats learned a lesson because we tried to be too moderate and that that's a problem for the future. We can't be too moderate. We need to have the $15 minimum wage across the country. We need to have protections for everyone under the sun who needs them so we can file more lawsuits in the workforce. We need to have a green energy plan. We need to have the 70% tax rate for all those horrible rich Americans.
Yep.
That Ocasio-Cortez has proposed. So, Mark, there's really, and this goes so unreported by all, by everybody in the media, except for stations like this and Fox News, there is a civil war in that party that's going unreported about how far left and how far socialist this new Democratic Party was. Ask, where are the Democrats of old? Where are the JFK, Harry Truman? Where even the Bill Clinton Democrats, the ones who believed in welfare to work? That's really what's, that's really the conflict that's going on, Mark, and that's why Speaker Pelosi has decided she cannot acquiesce to one single solitary reasonable demand to reopen this government. And I think at some point, probably in the very near future, she's the one who's going to really start owning this, because she's the true roadblock because of her new crazy caucus led by people like Ocasio-Cortez.
Well, yeah, who keep doubling down. And now this woman, Cortez, I'm glad that you mentioned it, we found out is going to sit on the same committee as Maxine Waters, in charge of the banking industry in this country. Americans should be frightened by that.
You know, Mark, and these people can't even take care of their own districts. There has been countless story after countless story after countless expose on Nancy Pelosi's congressional district there in, you know, the once great state of California, the once beautiful city of San Francisco, Mark, where there's literally syringes, and I hate to say it, feces in the street. They've been doing stories on this, that these areas are being overrun by homeless populations because, you know, Mark, these Democrats, they're big picture people. You know, they want a green energy state for all. You know, they want a living wage for all these big lofty goals. But when you put progressives in charge of something, look at our own city of St. Louis, where Democrats have had full reign and control for well over 50 years, and it's at the top of one of the most crime-ridden, worst education systems in the country. That's what happens when you put progressive policies on steroids and let them have unfettered control.
I guess
you can't run anything.
I guess you could say that's a really good reason why maybe we should not have a city-county merger.
I walked right into that.
I'm just saying, right there. We don't want to turn into another Detroit in a couple of years, which I'm afraid is exactly what would happen. Tim, can you hold on for a minute, or you have a meeting you have to get to up there in the swamp?
I'm okay this morning.
I want to talk to you a little bit about Governor Parsons' state of the state yesterday. Some of the things he brought up that we discussed last week in Jefferson City. Can you hold on?
Absolutely. We listened to it from up here. So sure thing.
Awesome. I'll put you on hold, and we'll get right back to former Missouri Speaker Tim Jones. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
And since we sit at the nexus of the East and the West, this system receives a great deal of strain. Nonetheless, we maintain this system with one of the lowest levels of funding in the country. Over the years, we have seen proposals go before the voters and fail. But this cannot and does not mean we are expected to do nothing.
All right. Former Speaker Tim Jones is still on the phone with us this morning. Tim, what did you think of the governor's discussion there? It sounds like he's committed to finding money somewhere to deal with infrastructure.
Well, Mark, as I expected, Governor Parson, he gave a very direct, very straightforward, very, very Mike Parson-esque speech. You know, he's been a former sheriff. He was in the legislature with me. Mike always got right to the point, you know, as to what he wanted to do. And so I enjoyed that it wasn't a typical speech with a lot of lofty platitudes. You know, he said, here's the problems we have in the state of Missouri. And if you all agree that these are problems, then how do we go about fixing them? Well, you know, we're not going to propose any more tax increases. He actually specifically said that, Mark, in his speech. There was two great things he mentioned. He mentioned that one of the first things he did when he entered office last summer was to sign into law the largest tax decrease in Missouri state history, which got a lot of applause from the General Assembly, which is mainly, you know, with supermajority Republicans. And he also said during his speech when he was talking about, look, I want to do this, I want to do that, and I think the state needs to do this. He made the point of saying, we're going to do all of this without increasing taxes. So that was a good point. So some people may say, well, he's promised all these things and, all this, as these speeches usually are, it's all this budget candy, right? However, I would point to the fact that Mike Parson said he's going to basically restructure government, reorder priorities, and he's going to do it all with not on the backs of hardworking Missourians. He's not going to propose any tax increases. And I think there's a lot of things in there in his speech that Democrats and Republicans could like a lot. But the Democrats are not going to be happy when Governor Parson starts, reorganizing, reducing, cutting certain parts of government in order to do some of these priorities of his. And, Mark, it's probably time for a restructuring of government. Mark, we hear all the time that our state workers are, amongst the lower paid strata in America. We're in the bottom third or whatever, state workers. However, guess what? We're near the top in number of state workers, per capita. So there's a problem there, right? Guess what, Mark? We could reduce our government workforce and then, guess what, pay them more money. So we have a bloated bureaucracy here in the state of Missouri. How did that happen? Well, before Republicans took over the legislature in 2004, Democrats had firm control of the purse and the pocketbook in this state for the preceding 50 years. And you know what Democrats like to do? They love to increase the size and scope of
government. Grow government, yeah.
They love to give out gifts to their friends. And so that's what happened. So you're not going to redo 50 years of increased night. So what the governor has proposed is not to go around firing people, but we've got all these open slots that just, Mark, they stay there. They stay there. They're just there. He's saying, let's eliminate them from the budget. Let's stop acting like we're going to refill these positions that we don't need someday.
Tim,
he's going to get a lot of the savings.
I'm going to get him on here at around 7:10 coming up in the next segment. So it'll be interesting to hear a little more of fleshing out of his ideas and where that money's going to come from. Listen, I appreciate it, my friend. Have fun up in the swamp.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, gang. We'll see y'all soon.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Of course, listen to Tim every Sunday night, 7 to 9, here on FM News Talk 97.1. All right. Quick break. Governor Parson is warming up. He's going to be ready for us around 7:10. So we'll ask him a few more details on exactly where that money's going to come from, what his thoughts are on it at least. And maybe we'll ask him about the city-county merger because a couple of state senators have come out opposed to a statewide vote. We'll see if he has an opinion on it. Plus Jim Talent, plus Todd Starnes. It's going to be a big hour. Stick around.